Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. After weeks of somewhat troubling news out of his campaign, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney scored a few points a few weeks ago after what pundits have described as an unengaging performance by President Barack Obama in their first presidential debate. Obama and Romney will meet again on the debate floor tonight, this time at Hofstra University on Long Island. Today we want your take on tonight's debate. Can the president stage a comeback? What does he have to do? Or will Romney carry the day for a second time? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can also leave your messages and questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Let me give that to you again, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Well, we got four phones ringing out of the five. And in one second, there'll be five phones ringing. Our wonderful Bruce Herbach is here to answer your calls. When you call him, you say, hello, Bruce, can you get me on the air? 1-800-348-2551. So here's my take on it for whatever it's worth. There is almost universal agreement that Obama lost the first debate. I didn't think so. I thought that Obama was right on most of the issues. I think Romney didn't always tell the truth, for whatever that's worth. And I also believe that it's one thing to score something as a debate, and it's another to score things in terms of what information is being given. Now, I have a particular issue here, and that is that I think as an African-American, I think in a racist country, largely racist country, I think Obama has an issue of how to thread the needle. If he attacks Romney, he's seen as being angry or whatever. So he has to do it with some humor, some grace, but he has to do it, no question about it. And that makes his role much more difficult than Romney's. Right now, all five phones are off, ringing off the hook. We'll go to our old friend, Tommy in Neversink. Tommy, you're on.
Oh, you just said almost what I was going to say.
Uh-oh.
The way these debates are treated in the media and the American public, it's like judging American Idol or an Olympic event.
Right, sporting
event.
It's
not about the issues.
Yeah.
Romney suddenly became a centrist. You know, he changed what he had been campaigning on, and he won.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's right.
What about substance?
Yeah. Well, you know, Tommy, you make a very good point. As always, we thank you. What's going on in Neversink, anyway? It's such a fascinating name.
Well, you know, that's one of the reservoirs that feeds the city.
I see, but when you say never sink, does that mean it never sinks, or what?
Well, it did, because the old never sink is under the reservoir, so it did sink.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Oh, another thing.
Yeah, real quick.
Why are unions endorsing Scott Brown? The Republicans will get rid of the unions the first chance they get.
Well, that's the, you're not talking about your rank and file unions. You're talking about the law enforcement unions. Okay, thank you very much, Tommy.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Susan of Dutchess County. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I didn't know that both you and the previous caller would be, talking about the naming of the debate.
Sure.
As a debate when it's not really, and that's what I'm calling about. I just want all the media and everybody to stop saying debate when, instead of saying debate and then saying, but it's not really a debate. Why don't they just call it, this time it's going to be like an advertisement or, you know, or persuasion or partially fact and partially whatever. But it's, I don't think that whether or not these forums are good for helpful to the American people, I don't think it's ever helpful to call something repeatedly that's acknowledged not to be what it is. I mean, it's,
well, Susan, I'm going to take some issue with you here.
Yeah.
I there's a debate commission and League of Women Voter Types who set these things up, and they do all the formats. Now, today it's a town meeting format, which I think is, I believe, should help Obama. And here's why. Because I think the questions will be unscripted, basically. The answers, we do know that Governor Romney has on occasion put his foot in his mouth. And it's almost always when there's an unexpected question. But, we can argue about what makes a proper debate. I think what's the worst thing about this debate stuff is that the that the true debate coaches look at it and say, well, that guy shouldn't have smiled while the other guy was talking, and that's not good form. This is not tennis. It is not football. It is a way in which we can assess what the candidates are saying. So I'm not nearly as concerned about the proper form of debating
as
you are.
Well, I don't care about the proper form, but I don't think that there really is an opportunity for them, for people to judge their performance or their
Okay, cutting you short, you said that already. So let me ask you this. What would you do? How would you structure it?
Hard question. But I guess I would want, maybe I would want questions, same questions to each of them, and then fact checkers as neutral as possible, trying to get them to answer the exact same question
with detail
and not allowing them, I mean, it'd be very hard to control, but trying not to let them just go off in any direction they want.
Well, I sympathize with you, Susan. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Let's go to Trombi in Tiambi in Schenectady. Tiambi, you're on. And by the way, there are now two free phones. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, I agree that I think the quote-unquote debate that we're going to be seeing is basically going to be perceived by people as far as style. I think more people need to pay attention to the substance, and I agree that Barack Obama was more substantive in the last debate. But if you want to talk about something that I think that could help him is if someone were to ask Governor Romney specifically his now opinion or position on abortion, and if he specifically agrees with overturning Roe v. Wade.
So wait a second. So how will that help Obama?
Because Governor Romney has been able to allow his surrogates and other people to speak on his behalf when it comes to abortion. I feel that he's been very vague with his answer.
He's
just strictly pro-life and not giving more substantive answer as far as where that would lead him, as far as what
his belief
for the Supreme Court.
Okay, thank you, Jambi. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Mortimer in Milan. Okay, you're on, Mortimer.
Alan,
yes,
television
sir.
Is an entertainment medium,
yes,
as told by the old philosopher himself, Casey Stengel,
yep.
Number 37.
Yeah.
Mr. Obama, our president, should be on stage with a three-piece band.
Okay,
Banjo,
Mortimer.
Thanks
as always, Mortimer. You're done. And let's go. He changes his name all the time. Let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, three free phones, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. I have a suggestion and a support for the moderator, Candy Crowley. I think that she...
Candy Crowley, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crowley.
Yeah.
I think that she in this, and I think she's suggested that she may well do this, and therefore I think we should all support her, that she's going to force the issue a little bit, that when someone, she actually chooses the questions, as you know, from those submitted, and then
right.
people submit them. And I think she's in a position to push back against answers which are not really answering the question, and which, of course, as you noted in the first debate, was very common. And I think this may actually be a better format for eliciting what really is going on in the heads of these guys.
Well, you know, Jonathan, I frequently talk about it to the point where I think everybody's sick of it. But in my Spanish class, I memorized, because it was always on the regents, one exam they give you five choices, you had to talk about it, one of the five. But I had one thing memorized, you know, in five tenses. And then no matter what the question was, that was the answer they got. And I think that's what happens in these debates.
Well, that's my point, that Candy Crowley can actually push back against that.
Well, you know, she's perceived, by the way, for whatever it's worth, she's perceived as leaning more towards the Romney people than to the, I don't know where this came from, but I've been reading about it. And so anything she does will be seen, you know, as a improper influencing of the candidate's remarks. I think that's one of the things these people have to watch out for. But Jonathan, as always, a pleasure to have you with us, and we thank you for your insights. Thanks again.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill in Waterford, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I have a question for you. I don't understand how Obama did so poorly in the last debate.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, when he was running against McCain, he was a master
yep.
debater.
Yep.
And I understand he was a master debater in Harvard. So, you know, I figured he would, you know, basically punch Romney's clock with his debating. What happened?
Well, you know, it's an interesting
thing. How could he lose it so much?
Well, you know, I don't know that he lost it, to be honest with you, Jill. You know, I just take issue with the common wisdom here. But because I think that on the substance, he was really sort of on the money. But I have to tell you, he's an incumbent. And the person who isn't an incumbent can always attack and say, I would have done it better. I would have done it differently. That guy wouldn't have been killed. That ambassador wouldn't have been killed if I was on. You know, what Obama had going for him, of course, was hope. And also, yes, we can. Yes, we can what? Yes, we can fill it in whatever you think, you know, you want
right,
done.
Right.
You can do that. The outsider always has that advantage. But I don't think that Obama's going to be snookered a second time. I think he's got a difficult thing. He's the president. He's got to defend what has been done up until now, which I think has been substantial. But the other guy is always going to say, I could have done it better. And I think Obama allowed himself to get on the defensive, and I think he has to go on the offensive here.
Offensive.
Jill, well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay,
yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back. There are three free phones. Again, 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting 9 to 5 the musical through October 28th in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont, historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildene.org. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Berkshire Medical Center's Joint Replacement Program, private rooms, pre-surgical education, rehabilitation, program coordinator, and 6 orthopedic surgeons. 413-395-7680. In the great Barrington Rudolph Steiner School, offering weekly classes for newborn, toddlers, and three-year-olds with parent or caregiver. Fall sessions beginning October 18th and October 23rd. GBRSS.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the Vox Pop. We're talking about what each candidate has to do to outperform the other one tonight. Our wonderful Bruce Herbach is answering your calls. A lot coming in right now. All 5 phones are busy. So, you know, just wait till somebody gets off and then you get on. Okay. Let's go to Dave in Poughkeepsie. Dave, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
I just wanted to voice the opinion that since this event's being held in New York State, I believe that anyone who has a ballot line and is running a candidate recognized in New York State should be included in the debate, such as the Green Party or you know, the Libertarian Party, whatever. Whoever's legally recognized in New York State should be participating in the debate, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hear you. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Carl in Palatine. Okay, Carl,
hello.
You're
thank
on.
Thank you so much for putting this on. Very
sure.
Timely, obviously. I have a totally different reaction to the debate, the last presidential debate, which has managed to tick off all of my friends who have different political points of view. And I wonder what your reaction would be. I feel, and you did touch on this, or infer this, I think, I feel that being a president for 3.5+ years, in such a time, coming after 9/11, coming after the conflicts we have, is so great a problem that no single individual could be free of major criticisms, regardless of what they did, least of all me. I think the problems are so great that I mean, even talking about what the heck the Federal Reserve should do by creating trillions, I don't even understand what trillions mean, except when I listen to Bob Sherman and Rick Graff talking about the universe. I can't even comprehend that.
That's Bob Berman, yeah, but go ahead.
What did I say?
Sherman, I thought you said.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, that's okay.
He's the Woodstock guy.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
He is, but go ahead. Let's not dive. That's my fault.
My point, Alan, is I can't comprehend how anyone, Ben Bernanke, I don't care who it is, Tim Geithner,
yep,
any of the Republican Finance Committee guys could possibly grasp. And I include in that Romney and Ryan, by the way. The problems that are facing us is beyond my comprehension.
Okay, I hear you.
Are you with me?
No, so far I'm with you. I want to ask you a very short diagnostic question, then I want you to figure that's your time. But my question to you is, isn't what I just said correct, which is that if you're an outsider, you can always criticize because of all of these problems, period?
Exactly.
Okay, Carl, thank you.
I'm just saying, Alan, going beyond that, in terms of listening to so many very bright callers that come into the station, I don't mean just today.
Yeah, yeah. Hurry, please, Carl, because I want to get everybody on. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Terry in New Paltz. Terry, go.
Hello.
Hey.
Listening to follow up on the vice presidential debate.
Sure.
Commentators made a few points which are indicative of the problems that people are discussing regarding the debate format. One commentator said, if you listen to it on the radio, Biden won. But if you watch it on TV, Ryan won.
What do you think?
I think that's correct. I think I agree also. I thought it was ironic when the guy at Fox News said, if you want to know who won, turn the sound off.
Well, see, I don't agree with your basic premise myself. I happen to think that Biden won it either way. The debate coaches will tell you he shouldn't have been laughing, he shouldn't have been showing his teeth, the rest of it. But I thought it was great.
The content tends to be over too many people's heads. Like in the first debate, Obama was intentionally, obviously, not replying to anything that Romney said. And in the second half of the debate, Romney had actually let his guard down and said things that I don't think his handlers meant him to say, like admitting that he was going to do the tax cut or the big bird comment.
Okay, but Terry, hold on a second. The question of the day is not the debate style. It's what should they do tonight?
Tonight, it's, as you say, the handlers, and just as long as he gets up there and like Romney or like Biden has facts behind all his answers, because the Republicans don't, the moderator, Candy Crowley, should be more like the moderator in the vice presidential debate, where she was actually very demanding of both candidates that they address the question.
Yeah, but you still aren't answering my question, Terry.
Okay.
And I don't mean to be belligerent here, but my question is, what should they do tonight? What should not they, the great they, I mean the two candidates?
The two candidates should try and address the questions and give factual answers. I know that most people watching don't want to see that, but that's what needs to be done.
Okay, Terry, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Okay. Scott on Facebook says, I'm concerned about what the two candidates will actually do and how it will impact me. I don't think a debate scored on who's the most aggressive or charming helps me make a decision. Romney was praised for being aggressive and interrupting, while VP Biden was criticized for doing the same thing. I can't wait for it to all be over. Remember, everybody, you can check in on WAMC's Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. You can also tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Okay, let's go to Peter in Sheffield. Okay, Peter, you're on.
2 points. One, Obama should stress on the economy how he's going to follow Clinton's lead and go pushing us towards a surplus. If he doesn't get that across, he's just fumbling. The other thing both candidates should do is address the three most effective negative ads that are put against them by the other party. I want to hear each candidate be a facts checker on the negative ads that have been put against them. That's my thought for tonight.
Well, Peter, first of all, bless you for answering the question. And secondly, don't you think, though, there's an old adage in these debates and in politics and in discourse that you never repeat the other guy's lie? So when you say that guy said this about me and it isn't true, you're repeating the other guy's lie.
Then just say, on this topic, this is what I perceive it to be, or this is the way it's seen. And drop the bit that it was being negative. I don't see that it's that detrimental. I don't agree with you that way, but maybe they should tone it down and just state the three points that counter those.
Well, okay,
three
if
most you, negative ads.
Peter, if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me try to fill it in for you. People come to me all the time, and somebody says something about them in a paper, and then they write a long letter repeating the, you know, the assertion. I always say to them, you know, what happens is if you write a letter saying this guy said this about me, most people have never seen it, but they will because the letters to the editor are the most watched thing in a newspaper or read thing in a newspaper. Are you following me?
Right. They'll hone in on what the other candidate wants them to remember. And you don't want that to happen.
Peter, you're a good guy. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Ted in Hyde Park. Ted, you're on.
Hello?
Hello, Ted. You're on.
Okay. I have two very important questions I'd like to hear answered.
Okay.
Especially from Romney. The first question is, I'm a veteran of the Vietnam War.
Right.
And my question is, with his aggressive attitude towards Syria and Iran, if his aggression created a war, would any of his sons be boots on the ground?
Hey, Ted.
Or would they
hey,
be
Ted.
In France
hey, Ted.
Write love
Ted.
Letters in the sand?
Hey, Ted, remember the question. The question is, if you were Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, what would you do tonight in order to, quote, win? That's the question.
Well, if I was Barack Obama, I'd be a little more aggressive.
You would be more aggressive.
Would you ask Romney answer that question, though.
Okay, so he could ask the question of Romney? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, would be nice, you know. Where would he be? I know where he was when I was in Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I say.
Hey, Ted, thanks again. Appreciate it. Let's go to RJ in Albany. RJ, you're on.
I have three things I think that President Obama should do. The first thing he should do is project optimism because... like Ronald Reagan used to criticize the Democrats for being the doom and gloom party. And Romney has to be that in order, that's his whole strategy. And so I think he should, President
okay,
Obama
I take
should,
it, I take your point, it's a good one. Next.
Okay, so the next one is that President Obama should point out the most horrible things about Romney, regardless of what the debate questions are, because Romney in the last debate just ignored some of the questions. And some of those, two of the things that Barack Obama could point out is that the Romney has taken this pledge of Grover Norquist, which all the Republicans have pledged, and Barack Obama should tell them the only pledge that he will take is the pledge of allegiance to the flag.
Okay.
And the third thing that he could do is point out, and I heard this on NPR a couple of days ago,
right,
that $83 million of Romney's campaign money comes from secret sources, secret, and only $3 million of Obama's money comes from secret sources. And he should point that out, and regardless of what the questions are in the debate.
Okay, what else you got? Is that it?
That's about it.
They're all good points. Thank you, RJ. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Bruce in Ulster, you're on.
Yes, I'm glad you're on the cutting edge of this, Alan. A lot of and focus has been put on substance, which is absolutely correct. Substance is important. but the word stance is in substance. And as far as stance goes, in the last debate, Obama was not energetic at all. He was totally outclassed by Romney, so he needs to be energetic. Maybe it had something to do with his anniversary. On a deep emotional level, he really didn't want to be there because that's the impression he got. And remember, people are not only listening, but they're watching. So they're paying attention to all of this. So he needs to come out energetically, and I think he will.
Okay, I agree with you. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jim in Cooperstown. Jim, you're on.
Oh, yes. Hey, I want a truth-o-meter on each candidate because I just want to hear the truth from both of them.
Yeah,
the
well, that's too bad. You're not going to get it. What else you got?
I know. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, yeah. The questions are answered, and you never get a direct answer. It's always reworded, and it's never clear. That's what I want to hear, both
Jim,
both
Jim,
candidates.
Just remember what the question is of the day. The question is, if you were the candidates, what would you do in order to win the debate?
To win the debate?
Yeah.
They should tell the truth. I mean, tell us exactly what is on your mind and what you plan on doing.
Okay, and you think that people will understand those issues. In other words, that if somebody is telling the truth, they will recognize the truth, right?
I think you got to give the voters some credit. I think if you're that interested in the conversation and the debates, I think they probably should understand some of the topics that will be discussed.
Jim, I thank you for your participation.
Okay, thanks. Yeah,
right.
Bye.
Let's go to Mark in Albany. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi. I have one plus a style for Obama and one for Romney.
Okay.
On style, I just can quote Patty Kay of the BBC. Obama should be clear, punchy, and passionate. And on substance, he should remember what he was saying for quite a while last fall. Pass this jobs bill right now.
Okay.
And remind people that this was the most obstructive Congress in living memory.
Okay, what if you...
It makes Harry Truman's do-nothing Congress look like 100 days.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. A little more Harry. I like it.
Yeah.
What else you got for Romney?
Pass this job still right now. For Romney,
yeah.
The way Romney can win the debate is by debating himself.
So it's a tongue-in-cheek remark, basically. You don't really have anything to offer Romney, right?
Yeah, but I really want to see that. There's some videos of Romney versus Romney, which are very amusing.
Yeah, but no, but tonight, be real. Tonight, what would you do if you were Romney?
I would apologize.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tim in Saratoga. Tim in Saratoga, go.
Yes, hello, Alan.
Hey.
Last time, I believe someone coached Romney to get in Barack's face, and he wished not to be distracted from responding to the inaccuracies the guy was putting out. I think this time the format will allow him to simply answer questions from the audience with his sincere and brilliant self, and that will be self-evident. And if Romney gets asked similar questions, he's not going to be able to pervert the answers that Barack gave or will give.
So your advice to Barack Obama tonight is?
To just be himself, answer the questions directly to the audience that he gets as honestly as he can because his policies and his facts are sound.
So what happens if he's fouled by Romney? He doesn't respond? Because I'm not sure that you're right.
If he's fouled, you mean if he interrupts or something like that?
No. If he's fouled, if he makes, if he says, you know, he because he didn't do enough, the ambassador was murdered, or because he hasn't.
Will this forum allow him to respond
certainly
to the other speaker?
Certainly. All he has to do is to say.
Well, then I think he has to be strong. He has to say, listen, this is a mistruth.
Yeah, that's
pure
right.
Pure and simply. Hey. And what he did do, whatever the contradiction is, that and you know that Romney's going to try to contradict whatever he says.
Tim, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Jim in, it says here, Wisconsin. Is that right, Jim? Are you in Wisconsin? Jim?
Hello?
Hello. Are you in Wisconsin?
Yes. No, I'm actually in New York, but okay, I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah, gotcha.
Ask where he's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering, you know, if he's looking at these debates as, you know, what it is. Really, it's a three-round fight. And, you know, I never really expected him to, you know, show a lot in the first round here because, you know, if it is the popularity contest that everybody says it is, the only one that matters is the last one.
Well, let's put it this way. He lost 4 points in the election, according to many of the pollsters.
Sure, but, you know, what happened? So he caught up a little bit, but basically I think he saw what Romney had. Yeah, they're going to go back. They're going to look at film.
Mm.
They're going to, you know, do what every sports team will do, what every fighter does. They're going to review that stuff, get ready for the second round.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think Romney probably blew his wad. He had to. He was so far behind, he couldn't afford not to.
He wasn't that far. He wasn't that far behind. I mean, you know, it was a couple of points, and he made those points up. On this, Jim. I mean, I like the sports analogy because I think you're right. It is a sporting event. I think that's too bad. And I think they will watch the films. And I think being a quick study, one thing that came up just a few seconds ago, which I really liked, was the idea that if there's an inconsistency on the part of the other candidate, you remember what those inconsistencies are. And you said, well, he said this, and then he said this on abortion, or he said this, and he said that. I think that's a very effective way of going.
Oh, sure, and I think tonight, you know, Obama, like I say, I'm sure they're checking film. They know the points to go after. And the first thing he does is, you know, he stops Obama's or Romney's offense, you know, with that, you know, all the spitfire that he's doing. And then he's going to have plenty of points to attack him on. He can start dressing him down because, you know, Romney kind of threw out a whole new program that first time. And there are plenty of attack points, but I don't think Obama should be throwing out any knockout punches because, you know, you save that one for your last round because you got to do the last round no matter what.
Indeed you do. Jim, thank you very much. Got to take a break. Thanks a lot. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. If your name is Jeff or Mishka or Jack or Jordan, you stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, an independently owned natural food market providing natural and organic foods, opening in Saratoga Springs, 2013. HealthyLivingMarket.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, a gardener's destination offering fall flowers, trees, corn stalks, pumpkins, and more, opens Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4, storiesnursery.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, customized eyewear fittings, European frame lines, and more. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY Eyewear.net. And Glens Falls Hospital, Big City Medicine, Hometown Care, 29 locations in the North Country and Saratoga regions, glensfallshospital.org.
And we are back on the Vox Pop, for, as our last caller said, the third round. So let us go, and final, let's go to Jeff in Chester. Jeff, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. First, I'd like to sympathize with the young woman who was kind of frustrated, maybe angered by the candidates being able to get away without answering the questions. So what I think Romney's got to do is, like, not give any specific policy because any specific policy is going to have some enemies and is going to lose him some votes, which he doesn't want to do.
Okay. What else you got?
The president, I think, you know, has been weighed down by his own appreciation of diplomacy. He's the one that actually knows what it means to be the president of the United States.
Yeah, so he should be more presidential?
I think he was last time, and it really cost him big.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't tell you. I can't tell you what he should do. But I just wanted to say other thing that I find very disturbing is like a desperate attempt by the Republicans to frame the issue only on the president, up or down, you know, up or down, as if there isn't even another candidate running in this.
Yeah, but that's not the question of the day. Jeff, the question of the day is, You've already said, and some I think tongue-in-cheek, let's face it, what you do if you were Romney. Don't give any specifics.
That's what he's been doing for the last year and a half, two years, seven years or something.
Jeff, you pretty well know where the guy is. I mean, you know where he is on abortion. You pretty well know who he's going to point to the Supreme Court. You pretty well know what he's doing in terms of, you know, international trade and all the rest of it. So I mean, he has positions. There's no question. I don't happen to like him, but he has positions, and he's defended them.
Fairly recently, a couple of times, I heard him say that he was all for the middle class.
Okay. Well, I believe that he says it, and he may even believe it. And if you put and if you put a cuff on his arm and said, "Do you believe you're for the middle class?" and he said, "Yes, because I believe in trickle down economics, and that will help the middle class," you might just get, and this is frightening, you just might get a straight line.
I think he might be a little closer with the people that have been doing the donating.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Betsy on Facebook says, "I think Obama has to figure out what to do if Romney pulls another Gish Gallop. I just learned this term, which means spewing torrents of errors so fast the opponent doesn't have a chance to respond. For his part, if Romney doesn't decide which side of the issues he's really on in this type of the debate, the audience is going to call him out on it, and we go to Mishka. Okay, Mishka, we're trying to get this done, so keep it short. Go ahead.
I'll keep it short. You already addressed the question of the Supreme Court, which I think has to be the follow-up on what Biden said the other night, what direction the Supreme Court will take depending upon who's president. But I would like, if there's possible, a question that really should be asked, which is to Romney, how would he deal with this obstructionist Tea Party Congress when he's already turning towards the left or towards the center?
Okay, Mishka, let's assume for a second that first of all, I'm not sure you're right about turning anyway. But let's assume. Let me ask you a question. But let's assume though that he gets asked that question. If you were Romney, how would you answer it?
I don't know. I'd like to see him squirm with it.
Okay.
That's my intention in part in asking that question.
Well, no, I know what your intention is, but this program, I'm going to pull my hair out, is supposed to be about what would you do if you were either or both candidates? What would you do tonight in order to win the debate? What's your answer?
What I would do is try to get that question asked.
Okay, Mishka. You're not the candidate.
I know I'm not the candidate.
Thank you, Mishka. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jack in Bearsville. Jack in Bearsville, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
I would say that right now what I see with Obama from the last debate, I think what he needs to do with sort of, nobody's been really talking about actual bodily gestures and stuff here, mm-hmm. and he really seems like he never addressed Mitt by name. He never said Mitt, I think, through the whole debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be good if he sort of was a little more personal and said, "Mitt, I don't believe that you did this." And I also, I mean, I go back and forth of whether or not he should actually call him out for lying.
But Jack, do you think, see, I've been talking about this for a while, and I have to be very careful about how I say this, obviously.
Yeah.
But here you have an African-American, first African-American president. You've got a white middle class and a 1% that is basically going to decide this. You have a somewhat racist country, let's face facts. If he calls him by his first name, if he makes any gesture that is seen as, you know, as wrong or as overly aggressive, don't you think that that's something that they're very concerned about?
I think there's definitely a risk involved in it. I think that that's where you have to play. He has to use the Obama charm that's gotten him into the place that he is.
I agree with you 100%. Got to use his humor. He's got to use his ability to, you know, to make people like him. He's done all of that in the past, and he can do it again here.
Absolutely. And I suspect with Romney, I would think that his trick is that he's going to pull another surprise that's going to catch. He's going to try to catch Obama off guard, I think, would be the strategy.
And what do you think he could do with that? You have any sense of what that might be?
Well, I think it could be a question of, you know, a surprise is a surprise, Alan. So I'm not sure what it would be, okay. But I think it could be something about maybe something about Obama's past or something, just a simple policy thing that he has not yet released that he says he's going to do. That's going to totally twist what Obama has planning.
He may go back to what he said as a community organizer or something like that. You may be right about that. Jack, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jordan in Chatham. Jordan, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, I think if I was one of the candidates, or as specifically Obama, I think what he needs to do is take a more generalized approach and how he frames his responses or his questions.
Well, isn't that what he did the last time, Jordan, that got him into trouble?
I thought he actually was spending too much time talking about the specifics and kind of losing track of where he was going. Mm-hmm. And instead, that's why Romney came across as being a lot more smoother, because he was sticking to the general topics and not delving into detail with every, you know, chance that he had.
I see. Well, Jordan, you could be right. I thank you very much for the telephone call. Hope you'll call again.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Let's go to Joanne in Ticonderoga. Hey, Joanne, you're on.
Yes. I think if I was Barack Obama, I would go ignore Romney's accusations and directly speak to the American public about what will happen if Romney is elected. Number one, he's chest beating already and will get us into another major Middle East war. Number two, he has a chance to appoint probably two Supreme Court justices, which will certainly go after the repeal of Roe versus Wade. It will certainly have more decisions on the part of large corporations. He will cause chaos in Social Security and Medicare in his attempts to revamp them radically. There's a whole bunch of things that the American public should be reminded about how dangerous this guy and his vice president are. They are going to cause major chaos in the social fabric of our country, plus get us in another war. And it astounds me that neither Biden nor Barack Obama even brought these issues up in their debate.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is, that they didn't do it?
Because they got bad advice from their wimpy advisors.
Okay.
Their advisors are part of the upper class and are out of touch with what moves the American public, and they need some emotion in this thing. We had emotion in the last election. That's why Barack was elected.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Now he's,
Joanne,
it's just like his,
Joanne, yeah. We've got five people behind you. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I want to try to get everybody in, okay? Thank you very much for the very good thoughts. Appreciate them. Okay, let's go to Vinny in Glens Falls. Vinny, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I was thinking about is that I think Barack Obama should run on his record, run on the good parts of his record and focus on that instead of being on the defensive. And with Mitt Romney, personally, I kind of differ with the other gentleman that spoke earlier, although he does bring a good point as far as avoiding specifics. But personally, I think he would be more engaging if he expanded on these 5 points, this 5-point plan that he has to, correct the ills of the country.
Don't you think he did that to some degree last time?
A little bit. I felt it was still pretty vague. And I think, I guess I'm getting it mixed up a little bit. I think Ryan was a lot more vague about it than he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he needs to come out even more about that and explain more about what's going to happen with those 5 parts. I think he was a little too vague on that. And I think Obama should run on his record. You know, Ryan was saying that, if you don't have a record to run on, you try and convince people to run from you, from the other party. And that, I kind of think that was a really hard statement. I mean, it's kind of true. It's kind of a convincing statement. So I think he has to
really do the
opposite.
It could be answered, right? You could say, don't tell me about it. We read your budget, and we know what you would do. I mean, isn't that the answer from Obama to Romney, to Ryan, or to Romney?
It should be. He should be able to go after him more, and not just be on the defensive or say that the same things about, we were heading towards the Great Depression. And I think people are getting tired of that. I'm an Obama supporter, but it's not the same time as it was 4 years ago, and you can't just say what's wrong with the other side. And that's
okay,
what,
Vinny, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm trying to get everybody in. I thank you for your very good thoughts. Thanks again. Okay, let's go to Ellen in Rhinebeck. Ellen, you're on.
Did you say Han?
I said Ellen.
Oh, well, I guess that's me, Rhinecliff.
Well, Rhinebeck? I hope so.
Well, okay. I want to say this to the people who will be listening tonight. When they ask those questions, and just watch when that Rhinebeck,
Romney.
Yeah. Gets a question, you see if ever he starts the answer with I. He always says, Obama this and Obama that. He goes right at him. And I don't think he's answered a question the whole summer.
Ellen, wait a second. The outsiders, I am not one of them, say that Obama lost the first debate.
But he wasn't trying to be the best debater on earth. The other one acts as if he's trying to get on a debate team, and he'd been on them a lot. I wasn't a bit surprised that he was a better debater, but the other, I think maybe the altitude. They said that Obama had been in Nevada, and that Colorado, the altitude has something to do with
Ellen,
it.
Ellen, you could be right. I thank you for your remarks. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Ben in Albany. Ben, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I just want to talk about for Romney. I think something that I think would probably be a smart thing for him to do, and that I actually, from watching some of the stuff that he said recently and even in the last debate that I think he's going to do, is possibly back off from the 20% thing on his tax plan. Because I think that's something that a lot of people have been missing, because everybody sort of criticized, okay, if he cut the 20% taxes, he can't cut enough loopholes and deficit and you know.
So if you're Romney, you back
the middle class.
So if you're Romney, you back off on that?
So, well, if I was Romney, basically I'd say, well, okay, fine then. My main things are, I'm not going to add to the deficit. I'm not going to raise taxes on the middle class. I'm not going to let rich people pay fewer taxes. And if that means that we can only cut the taxes by 10% or 15%, I'm willing to make that. And I think that's very likely something that is going to come out tonight.
So doesn't he leave himself vulnerable when he does that? In other words, you know, he hasn't answered the basic question about how he puts this thing into balance and saves some money?
Well, I mean, on that, I think at this point, basically, even Obama's, I can't remember the person's name, starts with a P. Anyways, one of his campaign people told the press the other day that basically, you know, from there looking at it, they could account for, you know, up to around $4 trillion of his tax cut. So I think if Romney can make the point that basically, I'm willing to sacrifice how much I will reduce the taxes by, but I'm not willing to sacrifice on the deficit and not raising taxes on the middle class.
Okay, good call, Ben. Thank you. Let's go to John in Gloversville. John, you're on.
Hi. I think that Romney should clarify how closely aligned he is with Paul Ryan's views and how he would utilize a vice president and whether he could keep this guy on a leash if it's necessary. For Obama, I think that it would be make a major difference to me if he somehow described how he would value the next generation of Americans, such as my daughters, who have worked hard, paid taxes, and are now, you know, under crushing school loans, and but are utilizing their degree.
So what do you want?
What
do you want him to
how
do?
How he might appreciate actual Americans who have worked very hard
and
how do play by the rules.
And why do you want him to do it?
Why would I want either one of them or
Obama
both of them
to do that?
Well, because I'm more of a substance person than
a political person.
A talk person. I think that the substance of a person is what they do, not necessarily what they say.
Yeah.
You know, to a degree, of course. And I think that I realize votes are very important to these people to be able to do what they think they.
Yeah.
Should be able to do, but I think that the generation of Americans that have actually used their opportunities and actually used their college degrees and are that they should be valued.
Okay, but you see, I am a person who believes if you don't get the votes, you don't get to do anything.
Oh, absolutely, I understand how that works.
Yeah, and I do. I appreciate your call very much. We're just about done, John. Thank you very much.
Sure,
for
you're
call.
Welcome.
Okay,
thank you.
Carl in Monroe. Carl, you got a one sentence. What do you want to say?
Well, Dr. Allen, we need a theme song for Barack, and then have Michael Bolton sing it, and they have to come out into that floor. Looking like Rocky and Mr. T. I mean, we know this is all a big clown show. If Romney's not going to say what's on his mind, not at this late stage of the game, he's already got a lead.
Okay. What do you want? Hey, Carl, I told you one sentence. What do you got to say? What do you want them to do?
I want them to. Well, they're not going to tell the truth. The democracy is gone. We're going down the road of fascism. money wins.
Okay, but you're not, Carl, you're not answering the question. Thank you very much. Okay, you're done. That's it for today. I thank you all very much. You're out of time. I want to thank Mike, who is left on the line from Saratoga. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York. Mila, a diamond dealer, also featuring Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, Vapor Cleaning, Sales, Service, Repairs, LexiVac.com. Okay, and that's from Lexington Vacuum. Okay. Lauren Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. And Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890 with 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Unusual wedding rings and more in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry, unusualweddingrings.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbert. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Shartok. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, college admissions and financial aid with Linnell Engelmeyer. Stay tuned now for a news update. But before you go, listen to what Tommy on Facebook says. Wasn't it interesting how the so-called left-wing media turned on Obama after the debate? I assume they were trying to exercise fair journalism, but as a major media outlet with a responsibility to the public, shouldn't they try to bring things to a higher level? Instead of treating it like a football game, they didn't help Obama. Now I know it shouldn't be their job to help him, but nor should it be their job to hurt him with stupidity that passes for journalism. Ladies and gentlemen, always great to hear from you. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, the fabulous Ray Graff. Take it away, Professor.